All right, this morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Now, if you were with us for homecoming week before last, we looked at Philippians chapter 1 in the opening verses. Today, we'll look at the final verses in Philippians. And again, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. This is a church that you'll see actually even in the passage that we're going to read this morning that he refers to as his joy and crown. This is a church that is unique in comparison to other churches that Paul wrote to simply because of the fact that they seem to be a healthy church. Now you remember 2 weeks ago we learned that they had provided some kind of gift for Paul. And so Paul is writing this letter really as a letter of gratitude. He's thanking them. But we'll also find that in sort of that Paul manner of writing, that he can't just say thank you. He has to sort of now encourage you. And in that encouragement, you kind of find a challenge. And so this morning he does it. He talks about a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I don't know that we as Christians today fully can grasp that anymore. I think because of the muck and the hustle of life, sometimes we've accumulated so many stuffs and things in our life that it now begins to keep us from fully, I think, sometimes enjoying the peace that surpasses all understanding. Seems like in the world today, there's a fix for everything. There's a quick fix. In fact, this last weekend, Leanne and I took some time and went to Atlanta. Went to a store called IKEA. If you don't know what that is, it's Disney World for adults, okay? They even have a restaurant in there that serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I thought, well, how strange that is. After experiencing it, you need food because you're going to spend a whole day in IKEA. IKEA is filled with just stuff that you never imagined that anyone would think about creating and that you need so badly. I mean, there are thousands of products you just walk through, and you didn't even know you needed that, but there it is, and it's a product that you can buy. The world is filled with all kinds of fixes. And even when it comes to your spiritual life, we have fallen toward that idea that a quick fix is all we need. We just need some kind of temporary feeling of peace. And if you'll look, there are all kinds of things that we are given in life that sometimes will substitute, impersonate this peace that Paul talks about today. But beware, it's not the real peace that we'll learn about today. Let's pray, and then we'll read through our passage. Father, thank you this morning for, again, the privilege that we have to be in your presence, to be able, Father, to read your word. And we're thankful, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning that we know is the teacher. It's the one who convicts and challenges us. And this morning, as we come to this passage, some, Father, with heavy hearts who are right now in the midst of all kinds of things and the stuff in their life is now getting in the way of them experiencing the true peace that is mentioned in Scripture and particularly in this passage. Father, we pray that with those heavy hearts that they would look towards you and find comfort in you and the presence of your Spirit. Your desire is for us to experience this peace. It's only when we begin to allow things to interfere or get in the way or to buy into substitutions for that peace that we no longer fully experience it. So, Father, this morning we pray for conviction. We pray, Father, that you would open our minds and our hearts and reveal to our eyes just where we stand with you in these situations. And then, Father, we pray also for those who may find themselves into this auditorium or are listening to this sermon online, who've never experienced the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. All of the things that they're facing in life, what we know is that Jesus loves them in spite of those things. And that Jesus came to die on the cross for all of us, regardless of what we've done in our past. And we just have to be willing to accept what Christ did on the cross. And so this morning, our prayer is that those that would fit into that category of not being a believer, is that they would be convicted by the Holy Spirit to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior this morning. Father, we give this time to you. We ask, Father, for the blessing of the reading of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, look with me starting in chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 9. But we're going to come back and spend some time really in verse 6 and 7, and that's kind of going to be our focal place this morning, or our focal verses. We start reading in verse 1, it says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown." That's the reference we mentioned a moment ago. "I receive for my work." Now, this is the only place you ever see Paul mentioning such a statement, saying that these folks are his joy and crown. In other words, when he begins to look at the product of the ministry that God has done through him, he thinks with great delight and joy about the Philippians and what they have been able to accomplish through their surrendering and work for the Lord. And notice how he also says that they need to stay true to the Lord. Now, this begins to give us an important sort of cue. He is talking to believers here. This peace that we talk about this morning is a peace, essentially, that is only available to believers who are in a right relationship with God. Now, non-believers, okay, let me be clear about something, can often experience this peace more in an indirect way. Do you understand where I'm going with that? Sort of by the fact that they may be around believers or see God's work around believers. You might even think that lost people in this world has experienced to some degree the peace of God because believers are in this world. And so sort of as a trickle down or a residual or a ripple effect, because of the presence of believers, they have experienced to some degree from a remote way that peace. But the only way that we truly experience the fullness of the peace is by what he says here. We know Christ, he calls us dear brothers and sisters, and that we're in a right relationship with the Lord. We're staying true to the Lord. All right, now look what he goes on to say in verse 2. This is where he kind of now begins to turn, and he talks specifically about something going on in this church. Now I've told you, for all intents and purposes, this church is healthy. But that doesn't mean that everything within this church is healthy, okay? Look what he says. "Now I appeal to you, Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord," listen to this, "settle your disagreement." Now he goes on to say, "And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life." Now wouldn't you like to know what the problem was between these two ladies? I mean, we don't know. We don't know the details of it. But we probably can guess. We live in a world. We know that there are often strifes and discord that takes place even within the walls of a church. But what we celebrate here is not the dilemma that they're facing, okay? But the fact that Paul calls this church his joy and crown, despite the fact that there was a problem between two members in that church. Now, I don't know about you, but that's an amen. They didn't let their strife and problems become a problem for the rest of the church. It didn't keep them from doing what God wanted them to do. They were able to continue to do the work of the Lord regardless of the problems that they might have had. And whatever it was, it didn't drag the church into that problem. Unfortunately, though, sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes churches do sort of get wound up into the problems that may be small and minuscule in the beginning, but now begin to be like a cancer for the whole church. And Satan is victorious when he gets us distracted and not doing what God wants us to do. And so again, you can think of it this way. That is the Pauline way of sort of giving a challenge. He is mentioning this problem, I believe, but he's also encouraging them to get together and resolve this problem, but also guard against it now becoming a problem for the rest of the church. Now that could, in and of itself, be a sermon. We're not going to stay there today. We're going to move on and move through the rest of this passage and look really at the peace. Now there's no accident that he mentions verse 2 and 3 before he starts talking about the particulars of this peace. Now look at verse 4. "Always be full of the joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming." In other words, we don't have a lot of time left. Now, he would say that in the first century. We have even less time left today. God has a plan. The world is in the motion of that plan, and Jesus is coming again. Now look at verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Now some of you in your version might see the word anxious, be anxious for nothing. Now again, we'll come back and sort of talk about that, but the word anxiety becomes sort of the root word there. But he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Look at this, which exceeds anything we can understand. That's where we get our title this morning. Again, some of your versions may say, surpasses all understanding. I'm reading out a New Living Translation today. Most of the time I use New American Standard, and I think it's New American Standard that says that surpasses all understanding. He goes on to say, his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now what I want to do, as I've said, is come back and really focus on verse 5 and 6. Where he gives us more of the particulars of what he means by this peace. And then that leads into verse 7, where he then declares that peace. Now, so we'll, if you're taking notes this morning, it'd be under the heading of this, how to have the peace that surpasses all understanding. There are four things that he gives us here this morning that I want us to kind of think about and pray about in our own lives. But all of this takes honesty. It takes us asking God to give us the wisdom to see our lives just as he sees them. As we've talked about, sometimes there's a lot of stuff that gets involved in our lives, things like job issues and family problems and the wants and the desires, the failures and uncertainties. It's just stuff that is a byproduct of being in the world. We live in a fallen world, and so we're always hanging on, it seems, to stuff and dealing with it. The first thing that we have to do is, number one, you'll see it on the screen, lay your stuff down. Now let me take you back to the word that he uses. Now the translation that you saw on the screen says worry. But really the Greek word is anxious there, which is where we get the word anxiety. That's the sense of nervousness and uneasiness. It really boils down to an inability to control something. That's what creates anxiety. And when we begin to allow the stuff in our life to now become the focus of our attention, now we lose the ability to let God be God in our life. And we can't experience that peace is because we're worried about juggling all of the different stuffs in our life, and we can't do what God wants us to do because we're focused on that. And it's important that we go back to remind ourselves, because he's mentioning some stuff in verse 2 and 3 between these two ladies. And even though we're saying that stuff has not interfered with the work of the church, he's giving it as a warning to keep that from happening. And so this is something that applies not only to individuals, but also can apply to a church. When we allow stuff to now distract us and keep us from being focused on what God has planted us to do. But we have to deal with it. We have to lay this stuff down, as it seems to say. And this comes really in this first part where he talks about in verse 6. Look there. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. How are you going to do that? You're going to lay it down before him. Now, I don't mean literally that you may bring your problems and lay them down here at the altar, although sometimes we may need to literally do that. But it is a symbolism of you coming to the Lord every single day. And it's Jesus that tells us to take up our cross. When we take up our cross, you know what we have to do? We have to lay down what we're holding in order to grab that cross. There's imagery there. There's a metaphor there that sometimes we don't think about. And all through Scripture, you see examples of God asking people to lay things down. And he's giving us the instructions of how to do that. Allowing God to be bigger than anything else in our life. Staying focused on him. And not letting our attention get focused on the stuff that in the bigger scheme of things may be really important right now, but in 5 years, it's not really going to matter. See, that was a measuring stick that someone gave me one time. I was facing a particular issue and trying to figure out what decision to make, and it was really taxing. I mean, the stuff just seemed to be getting bigger and bigger. And here I was, a pastor, trying to figure out how to hold all of that stuff and then do all of what God was calling me to do as a church pastor. And he finally came to me and said, Keith, let me give you some advice. Is what you're dealing with right now, this stuff, going to matter in 5, 10 years from now? When you look back at it, are you going to think, that was really no big deal? And I thought, yeah, that's probably going to be it. Then why are you letting it be a big deal now? Sometimes you got to just trust God, and he calls us his children for a reason. Sometimes we just got to sit back and let him take us where he's going and not ask the questions of where we're going, when we're going to get there, how much longer, and all of the other things that we as parents have faced with our own kids in the back seat going someplace. We need to be that with God. We need to sit there and let him be God and take us where he's going. And sometimes that path is difficult. Sometimes that path does create havoc and uncertainty and uneasiness. But don't you know that God is still in the driver's seat? He knows exactly where he's taking you, and he has you in his protected grasp. He's never going to allow anything to happen to you. And we have to trust that. He's our Heavenly Father. And whatever stuff that we're allowing to get in front of him or in between us and him really doesn't matter in the bigger scheme of things. And I realize a lot of us deal with big issues, and I'm not cheapening those things. But listen to this, nothing's bigger than God. Nothing's bigger than his ability to handle it. And sometimes the prayer needs to be this, not that God helps you to figure out how to sort the stuff. Maybe the prayer is that God gives you the ability just to lay that stuff down and let him be God of it. And sometimes you need to be specific in this. And that leads us really to the second point, and that's this. And we see this. Look what he says. He says, don't worry about anything. But what does he say next in verse 6? Instead, pray about everything. That's number 2. So if we lay all of this stuff down, you know, to lay it down, you got to recognize it, right? So number 2 is this. You got to pray about all the stuff in your life. Now, I would tell you this, be specific. Last several years, God has been teaching me much about being specific in the way that I pray. And I've mentioned this before. A couple of years ago, God really began to convict me that sometimes we just go to him and just do these blanket prayers. And sometimes there is need for us to go through the specifics of things. And especially when it comes to stuff. Because what happens is we mix it all together, and before long we don't even realize what it is that's burdening us anymore. And without going through them and saying, Lord, help me to overcome the fear of what may happen in my job. Lord, help me to overcome what it is that I'm dealing with in this relationship. Help me, Father, to just trust you with my finances. Help me to trust you with my child who I can't seem to understand or figure out how to motivate. Lord, help me to be able to not worry about what's going to happen next year or what happened last year and will it come back this year. Being able to be specific and lay those things out. And I would even encourage you, write those things down. See, I think sometimes we've cheapened our prayer life and we don't really spend the time recording and writing down the things that we pray about. Now, I've gotten out of the habit of doing that sometimes. Now, I used to have pages of specific prayers that I would pray on a certain day. And sometimes we get into the hustle and bustle of life and dealing with all the stuff that now God is just another part of that stuff. And that just becomes something that we deal with as we deal with all of the things in our life. God really wants to be in a bigger place in our life, amen? He wants to be a cornerstone. He wants for us to come to him and pray about these things and lay them down at his altar, as we've said. And give him the power and the glory over all of those things. To find the peace that we mention in this passage, we need to pray about those burdens. And we need to really remember whose problems those burdens are. They're not ours. If we belong to him, then they are ultimately his issues and problems and stuff to deal with. And then we need to allow him to be God in those things. Number three is this, and we move on, and he says this. Instead, pray about everything. And then what does he say? Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's the last part of verse 6. This is number 3, by the way. Keep the stuff that matters in perspective. Otherwise, how are you going to be able to tell God what you need? Unless you sit down and you begin to deal with this stuff and keeping the right perspective. This is where sometimes I struggle with. I'll allow things that really are minor things to become major things at a certain moment in my life. And things that are minor, I end up letting be, or major things I let be minor. I got that confused, didn't I? But we sometimes flip-flop that. We let major things become more less important than they really should be, and minor things become life-altering issues that they really don't deserve to be. And we have to keep things in perspective. And I think that's what Paul's telling not only these two ladies, but the church at large, including you and I today, that we need to pray. He's already told us that. But we need to tell God, and again, I think the specifics come here, tell God what you need. Not how to solve your problem. I mean, many of us have gone down that path. You know, Lord, I need you to do it A, B, C, and D. I need you to do it this way. And if you don't do it this way, then I'm just going to believe you didn't do anything. No, let God be God and do it the way he wants. But you need to ask him to take control of specific things. You need to tell him, as it says in here, what you need. And be careful there. What you think you need may not be what God wants you to have. And these aren't things. We're not talking about, I don't believe, material things here. Again, you know, you can go into any of the stores we see today, and we've got a product that will solve all kinds of problems today. Even anxiety issues. There are all kinds of things that they tell you that you can do, or you just need to buy this product, or spend more time doing this or that in order to resolve your anxiety. But as believers, we understand that God is the great healer. And that when it comes down to it, we need to allow him to now begin to sort through those things. But we need to ask God to give us clarity in understanding what we really need. By spending time with him, by praying through the things, laying those things down, no longer letting them be the important matters that they might be this morning, we lay them down. Now we begin to allow God to sort of rewire our perspectives. And making sure that we're keeping what's important, important, and what's not really important, not important. Keeping things in perspective. And making sure that we're clear on that. And sometimes that means we do sort of a little soul searching. Asking God to help us to sort of see the inner parts of our heart and what we always felt were important in our life. And at this moment, we're so blinded by the stuff that we've lost the perspective that we once had. And sometimes God does some things. I'll be honest with you. He creates some things in your life, maybe some difficult situations, to sort of cause you to reevaluate and rethink what's important, because you've sort of gotten blinded by all of the stuff that you've accumulated as far as issues and problems in your life. And so we've got to make sure that we keep that stuff and keep these things in perspective. Number three is this, or number four rather. And we move on, and really we move out of verse 6 now. And look what he says in verse 7. This is where he gets to the decree about the peace. Okay, look what he says. Then you will experience God's peace. You will experience it when? When you don't worry about anything, and when you pray about everything, and when you tell God what you need, and thank him for all that he has done. Let's not lose sight of that. That all comes back to what we've just said. We got to make sure that we lay our things down before him. That we pray about the things in our life, that we keep the things in perspective that we face. That's what we mean by telling God what we need and then thanking him for what he's done. But let me also say this, for maybe what he's not done either. Then we get to this verse 7. Then, he says, we'll experience God's peace. And you'll see on the screen, number 4 is this. If you're taking notes, stay focused on him no matter what. No matter what. Always asking him to give you the ability to stay focused, because that's what he seems to be saying here. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds or surpasses anything we can understand. In the midst of the storm and the difficulties of life, and the horrible diagnosis that we may be facing or a loved one has been given this week, we have a peace that cannot be explained except for the fact that God is present with us. And that's what God has always intended for us. His desire is not for us to walk around in a state of anxiety or with anxiousness, as it seems to indicate in this passage, worried about this or that. Listen, we know they're there. We're not saying to ignore them, but to put them in the right place and not allow them to keep us from being focused on Him. And note what we said here, no matter what. Because, see, Satan's going to do everything he can to trip you up and to get your focus back on the stuff. And you may be thinking right now, you know what, Lord, thank you. You've lifted this burden. You've helped me to see something a little more clearly through your word. You're helping me to lay these things down. But beware, probably no sooner than the sun goes down today, you'll be tempted again to pick that stuff back up and to start carrying it around. And they become burdens and they become weights and they wear you out and they begin to tire you and they distract you and they keep you from being focused on Him. And listen, your burden right now may not be something really big. It may be something really small. And it's just a blip on the horizon right now. But you may be like so many others, you're just fixated on it. And you're just worried about it. And you're anxious about it. And it's so far away, but yet you're allowing it to control what God can and cannot do in your life right now. You got to stay focused on it. You got to let go of those things. And you got to allow Him, we say this all the time, you got to allow Him to be God in your life. It is easy to give lip service to that when it's convenient. Lord, you're the God of my life. I give you first place every single day. And those things are easy to do. But the real challenge comes when it becomes the difficult moments. When you got all of that stuff going on around you. Now you have to ask the question, is He being God of your life? Is He being God of that particular area or whatever it is that you may be facing? Let me end with this. And I love how he challenges us in verse 9, where he goes on. And really in verse 8, he reiterates what he says in verse 7. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. These are all about God, right? That's what we've said, that we've got to make sure that we're staying focused on Him. But then look at verse 9. It's interesting how he says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Listen, it's never intended to be easy. It's not. The spiritual journey is difficult. And today may be a tough day. Tomorrow, hopefully, will be a better day. And there is seemingly an ebb and flow to our spiritual journey. I don't know that God always designs it to be that way, but we allow it to be that way. But what we have to make sure is that we're not settling, and this is kind of the point I want to end on, that we're not settling for a cheap imitation of the peace that exceeds all understanding. That we don't allow something from the outside to trick us into giving us a false sense of peace about something when it's really not been dealt with. See, and that's the danger of sometimes like these. You come in and you feel conviction, but yet you lay those things down, and then no sooner, as we've said, you leave this auditorium or tonight, you begin to find yourself right back where you were. And when we talk about transformation and change, we're talking about God-led transformation and change that can only come by way of His Spirit. And the peace that we're talking about this morning can come from no other place but by Him. And so if you're out of a walk with the Lord or you're into something that does not please Him, then whatever peace or feeling of comfort you have is not from Him because it's not according to His will. And that's where we've got to be careful that we don't become so desperate and blinded by the work of the devil in our life that we now begin to see sort of cheap imitations of this peace when it's not really the peace that surpasses all understanding. And probably every one of us has done that at one point. We've settled for something that was not this type of peace or this type of comfort, only to find out later that it was not really resolved or that we were still holding on to that stuff. Listen, this is really a journey in surrendering all. I mean, it really is. Laying it all down, as we said in that very first point, giving Him everything. If you can't do that, then you're not going to be able to accomplish the other things that we mentioned in this passage this morning. Let's pray. Father, we again are thankful, God, for the power of conviction and work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we pray right now and pause before you, as there are probably more than we realize folks in this auditorium right now that are dealing with all kinds of stuff that truthfully are getting in the way of their walk with you. And in some cases, it maybe have been going on for so long that they've now sort of lost sight of really what that really was in the beginning. But they know that they feel distant from you. They know that they don't experience that joy, and certainly not the peace, both of which are mentioned in this passage. And Father, that is not the way you intended us to live, in a sense of defeat and feeling deflated all of the time, like we're being beat by the enemy. Father, you desire us to live victoriously. And it begins with us laying that stuff down. And Father, I pray right now that those in here that are dealing with that, that you would give them the strength and the ability just to let go of those things, whatever they may be, doesn't matter, and lay them before your altar and trust you with them and truly trust you with them. I'm reminded of the woman at the well when she comes with her water jugs, the burden of her day. And she gets so excited about her encounter with the Lord that she leaves her water jugs and goes back into the town. Father, would we be excited about being in your presence and to be able to lay whatever those burdens are down before you and trust you with them. And Father, I pray this morning for the lost person that may have found themselves into this auditorium. The burdens and the stuff in their life seems monumental. And Lord, the only way that they can truly experience the peace that's mentioned in Scripture, and perhaps they've seen in other people's lives who are believers, is to accept Christ and what He did on the cross. And so this morning, as we do every Sunday morning, we give opportunity for people to give a response to God, and that includes those who might want to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm certain they've probably been dealing with this for some time. And this morning, they finally feel like they can lay down those obstacles and whatever has kept them from the Lord. We have people here who would love to share with them how they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Otherwise, for the believer, Father, we pray. As always, the altar is open. Those who need to come and pray, those who need to make decisions, Father, we give this time to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of invitation?